Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Amos, the third chapter of Amos, in your Schofield Bible, page 935. Beginning with the first verse, we'll read responsively through verse 10. If you're using a Schofield Bible, you'll be needing to turn the page, so be ready to do that. As we always do, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Hear this word that the Lord hath spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together, except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Publish in the palaces of Ashdod and in the palaces in the land of Egypt, and say, Assemble yourselves upon the mountains of Samaria, and behold the great tumults in the midst thereof, and the oppressed in the midst thereof. For they know not to do right, saith the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Verse 10 is the text verse for tonight's message. Let's pray. We sure thank you, Lord. You're good to us. We've been here, many of us, for a good number of years. We've built a lot of memories. And thank you for every blessed memory. There's still a lot of ground to cover. There are things that need to be done tonight. Help us tonight. There are things that need to be done tomorrow and throughout the week to come, throughout the months to come and the years to come. Help this church to stand as it stands now. A great testimony to the faithful and to those who serve Christ. Bless our preacher, giving of thy power and strength tonight. Please help us to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, I'd like for you to follow me as I make a search. I want to read for you tonight one passage without your turning to it, and then one verse that you read a while ago. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, I read, Children, obey your parents in the Lord. And this is what I want you to notice. For this is right. Why is it right? Because God said it. That's why it's right. For this is right. And then my text verse tonight is in that book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 10. Here's both the title and the text. For they know not to do right. Or shall I put it this way? They know not what is right. They know not to do right. That's the title of my message. I hope you listen very carefully. I say this often around the country when I preach. I'm 73 years of age now. I hope I have a lot of sermons left. But I know I don't have, I already preached 66,000. I know I don't have that many left. I know I don't have enough to waste any. So don't waste my sermon tonight. You say, how can we waste your sermon by not listening? That's how you can waste it. So I want you to listen to me as I speak on the subject, they know not to do right. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that you'll help me as I explore the Scriptures and explore how to do right. And as the people listen, I pray they'll follow me and my logic, line upon line, precept upon precept. In Jesus' name, amen. In 1 Samuel 12:23,
feel the words the right way. In Psalm 107 and verse 7, the right way. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, you find the three words, the right paths. In Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 6, you find the words, the right things. Tonight, I am going to search for what is right. I want you to follow me as I myself search for what is right. I want to do right. I honestly believe that most of you want to do right. I think that many people who don't do right want to do right. And tonight, come with me as I seek what is right to do. You see, God wants me to do right. Your parents, my mother wanted me to do right. Even my father, who did not do right himself, wanted me to do right. Most of us want to do what is right. My friends want me, and your friends want you to do what's right. And even Satan tonight wants you to do right. Oh, you say, hold it now. You say, Satan wants me to do right? Yes, that's exactly the truth. You see, yet we are as they in Amos 3:10, they know not to do right, or they know not what is right to do. It seems that we differ on what is right. It seems that so many people, sons of a man, God's creatures, differ on the criteria for what is exactly right. I sincerely, and I mean this, I sincerely want to do what is right. So tonight, I launch a search to find the criteria to use to find out what is right. All right? The question is, just who decides what is right? All right, I have one recourse. I can decide myself if I want to. Now, this is what Satan wants me to do. Satan wants me to decide for myself. Now, Satan wants me to do right, but he wants me to do right as I see what is right. The honest truth is, he even advised Eve to do right. He came to Eve and said, now, look, Eve, I want you to do what's right. But he said, if you'll eat the tree in the midst of the garden, you yourself will be as gods, knowing or determining yourself what is right. And Satan didn't come to Eve and say, do wrong. He said, Eve, I want you to do right. But he said, look, good night, eat that fruit. You got a brain, and God will give you the wisdom to decide what is right, and you do right. Now, Satan, listen carefully, Satan does not care which way I go, as long as I don't go God's way. You see, Satan was at one time God's right-hand deputy. Nobody knows God like Satan. Lucifer knows God, and Lucifer is after God. Basically, he isn't after you, he's after God. And he wants you not to do the will of God or the plan of God or what God thinks is right. So he comes to Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he says to Eve, I want you to do right. But you decide what's right. And that's exactly what's going on around the country now. Pastor over on the other side of Chicago goes house to house asking a bunch of heathen people what they want in the way of a church. And then he builds a church to satisfy the heathen people. What he ought to do is build a church according to that book right there and according to what God wants him to do. But you see, by the way, he wants to do right, but he wants to decide, or people to decide for him what is right. So Satan does not tell me which way to go. You won't find one place in this Bible where the devil tells you which way to go. You'll find a lot of places where he tells you which way not to go. He's trying to keep you from doing God's way. And so he says to you, you go your own way and do your own thing. Now, let's take a few moments and decide or find how this turns out. When people themselves, if I decide what is right and what is wrong, let's see how it turns out. In the first place, in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6, it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Again, in Judges 21 and verse 5, it says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, this is the book of Judges. I wonder how this is going to turn out. When man decides what's right and what wrong is wrong, let me say this, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know what's right and you don't know what's wrong. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, the Bible says, of the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, let's see how it turned out. In Judges chapter 17, 6 and chapter 21, verse 5, following that statement came the darkest hours in the life of the nation of Israel, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You go to the average state university, and they'll tell you, you decide what's right. You go to the average liberal seminary, and they'll tell you, you decide what's right. But you haven't got enough sense to know what's right. You have your Creator who knows what's right, and the devil is trying to keep you from doing what your Creator wants you to do. He wants you to go on your own way. We have young folks in this room tonight who are saying, it's my life. In the first place, that's a lie. You're not your own. You're bought with a price, and it's not your life at all. But they say, I'll do what I want to do. It's my decision. I'm trying to say, the Bible says, the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, following the book of Judges is a little book called the Book of Ruth. I'm sorry, yes. And that little book of Ruth is a story of a couple who did what was right in their own eyes. Let me explain the story to you. There's a man named Elimelech. He had a wife whose name was Naomi. And there was a famine in the land. And Elimelech, I can see him coming home at night. And Naomi says, honey, did you find work tonight? And Elimelech says, no, didn't find any work. I looked all day, didn't find any work. Next morning, he trudges out to the factories and the stores and places of business and seeks a job. He comes home that night. And Naomi says, sweetheart, did you find work tonight or today? And he says, no, I didn't find any work today. Days became weeks. Weeks became months. Months became many. The same story. Elimelech comes home unemployed, a famine in the land. And so finally they sit down one day and say something like this. We understand that there's plenty down in Moab. Now, Moab was the place that God told his people not to hang out. But they said, it just seems to make sense. We could go down there to Moab and we could find a job. And we won't stay long. The Bible says they went to sojourn, which means just to pass through. And then it says they stayed 10 years. Everybody, nobody says I'm going to become an alcoholic. I'm going to take a social drink. Before you know it, you stayed 10 years. And they stayed for 10 years. Now, it seemed right. It seemed good. It seemed right. You hear me carefully. It never is right when God's people decide where they live because of the financial conditions and the financial arrangements. Never does. Never does. I said this again and again, and people keep on doing it. If Sears Roebuck tells you to go somewhere else, you let God tell you where to go and tell Sears Roebuck where they ought to go. Now, I'm trying to tell you tonight that they went down in Moab, and they had two sons. One was named Malan, and one was named Chilion. Well, they're down in Moab, and there were no Christian girls down there. And so Malan started going with a heathen girl. And so did Chilion start going with a heathen girl. And one married a girl named Ruth. Another married a girl named Orpah. And that's the sad thing. Hey, your kids are going to marry whoever they meet, whoever they know. And that's why you ought to be an old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone, Bible preaching, King James Bible only, sin-hating, Christ-honoring, soul-winning, hell and fire and brimstone Baptist church, so your kids will meet the right kind of young people, so they'll marry the right kind. But now you've got, by the way, Naomi and Elimelech, they didn't say, let's go down to Moab and do wrong. They said it just seems like the thing to do. They go down to Moab, and Malan marries a heathen girl, Chilion marries a heathen girl, and after a while, Malan dies, and Chilion dies. And then Elimelech dies. And for 10 years, Naomi stays down there. Now she has her two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. And it's time she decides to come back to Bethlehem. She comes back to Bethlehem of Judah, and the people look at her and say, is this Naomi? I don't even recognize her. Young ladies, you listen to me. You can have Avon call all you want to. And Helen Curtis can send you, Eileen Curtis, or whatever she is, can send you whatever she wants to say. And you can put caulk in those wrinkles all you want to, but there is nothing in this world that'll help you become a beautiful woman like a look of innocency and virtue and walking with God and doing God's will. Now, what happened? Elimelech died. Malan married a heathen. Chilion married a heathen. Malan died. kill you and die. Why? I'll tell you why. The same reason some of you kids tonight are going to go your way and do what you think is right, but you have no right to do what you think is right. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Let me see how this turns out. If a man does that which is right in his own eyes, in the wilderness, the Jews wandered for 40 years because they did that which was right in their eyes. You recall the story. They came to Kadesh Barnea, the door of the promised land. They sent out 12 spies. Those spies go out and they investigate the land, and they come back and say, it's a land that flows with milk and honey. And it's a beautiful. Look at these pomegranates. Look at these grapes. And it's beautiful, wonderful. But they're giants there. Hey, we serve a giant-killing God, ladies and gentlemen. They're giants there. It just doesn't seem wise for us to go. We just don't deem it wise for us to go. An example of this also, the entire human race fell in the Garden of Eden. Eve ate the fruit. She decided she knew what was right, and she knew what was wrong, and the entire human race fell and become guilty before God Almighty, as our federal head in the Garden of Eden representing us, did what each of us would have done had we been in the Garden of Eden. They did what seemed right. Hey, you have no right to choose the church that seems the best for you. You have no right to join the religion that you think seems the best. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a book right here, and that book tells you what's right. And that book tells you what's wrong. You have no right to do your own thing and go your own way. For 70 years, the Jewish people were captives, slaves in the land of Babylon. 70 long years. Why? Because they did that they thought was right. It's summed up in Isaiah 53. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. It does not say we've turned everyone to the devil's way. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now, you listen carefully. You will wreck your life if you depend upon... Hey, young folks, I'm talking to you. If you depend upon you to decide what's right and wrong. There's some sincere people here tonight. You want to do what's right, but you want to decide what's right. It never has, never can, never will turn out right if you decide what's right and what's wrong. Not only that. Solomon said in Proverbs 14:12, in Proverbs 16:25, he said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof the ways of death. Solomon knew. Solomon did what he thought was right, and in his own way. And Solomon ended up a miserable old man. He comes to the end of his life, and I ask him, I say, King Solomon, you've had everything you want. Everything your heart's desired. And what's your advice to us? And he says, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Solomon did what he thought was right. It turned out to wreck his life. The Jews did what they thought was right. They spent 70 years in bondage. The Israelites thought they did what was right. They spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And Eve did what she thought was right. And the whole human race fell. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know what's right. You have no ability to determine what's right or wrong. Well, I continue my search. I'm convinced myself that what I decide is not the wise choice. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll make me a man to decide. I'll put expensive garments on him. Put him on a throne and call him the Pope. Maybe he can decide what's wrong and what's right. My Bible says there is a way that seemeth right to a man. It so happens he's a man. Not much of a man, but a man. And the Pope doesn't know what's right. And you folks trust in that rascal to tell you what's right or foolish. God in heaven has written a book. Look in there and find out what's right. Let me tell you what I'll do. Since that doesn't work, I myself deciding what's right is not the wise thing. Choosing a man and dressing him up, putting him on a throne, putting the big football helmet on his head, and a kimono on his body, And that won't do it. What I'll do, I'll choose a group of people like myself. We'll call the church, and the church will decide what's right and wrong. This church has no right to decide what's right and wrong. I have no right to decide what's right and wrong. This book tells you what's right or what's wrong. So I've come to a conclusion. Only, hear my conclusion, only someone who knows what is right and wrong and who always has done right and has never done wrong can tell me what is right to do. And only one can answer those qualifications, and that's my wonderful Savior. Okay. So he knows what's right. How can I find out from him what's right? I've never heard his voice. I've never seen his face. He's never written me a handwritten note, a letter. How can I find out? Listen carefully. I found out by his Holy Spirit. He knows what's right. So, I say, okay, Holy Spirit, you lead me and tell me what is right. But wait a minute. I'm flesh. I may misread it. I may not get the vibrations, if you would, if you please, from heaven. Or I could say I had a word of knowledge. I was riding on the airplane with a famous Pentecostal evangelist, sitting side by side. Told him who it was. He had heard of me. I had heard of him. He was nicely known. And he said, hold it, Reverend Hiles. I have a word of knowledge. I said, hold it, Reverend Charismatic. I have words of knowledge. I wouldn't give you time for all the words of knowledge that Pat Robertson has. I wouldn't give you time for Oral Roberts' words of knowledge, all the charismatic words of knowledge. And I wouldn't give you time for all the Baptists I feel led. Boy, we have a heap of things, but I feel led. I feel led. It's a Baptist word of knowledge. Well, then how can I find from the Holy Spirit, how can he lead me? Well, very fortunately, he has written the book. And in that book, he tells me what I am supposed to do. By the way, I found out also if I read his book, he who lives in me will teach me that book before I read his book. Now, I'll give you an example. If he says it in the book, you're supposed to do it. We know it's wrong to steal because it says it in the book. We know it's wrong to kill because it says it in the book. We know it's wrong to commit adultery because it says it in the book. We know it's wrong to covet because it says it in the book. We know it's wrong to disobey your parents because it says it in the book. And that's what it says in Ephesians 6:1. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What's he saying? He's saying there's a God in heaven, and he knows what's right to do. And he put it in a book. For example, we know it's right for wives to submit themselves to their husbands because it says so in the book. We know it's right for children to obey their parents because it says so in the book. The book the Holy Spirit has written. We know it is right for men to work hard and obey their bosses because it says so in the book. We know it's right for a father to rear his children, nurture and admonition of the Lord because it says so in the book. We know according to Deuteronomy 22:5, it's wrong for a man to wear woman's clothing or a woman to wear man's clothing because it says so in the book. Oh, but you say, preacher, you say, it doesn't mean that. All right, let's agree to that. Doesn't mean that, but it says that, doesn't it? And if it doesn't mean that, you don't know what it means. So go home and burn all your pants, ladies. And burn your short skirts and get you some decent looking skirts that come down and cover your knees and look like a woman, dress like a woman, walk like a woman, act like a woman, talk like a woman, and be a woman for a change. It says it in the book. 1 Corinthians 11:14 says it's shame for a man to have long hair. Somebody said, well, hey, you know what long hair is? I can tell you in a minute. Stops it short. Now, if it's in the book, do it. But now the question comes. I have searched for what is right. I myself decided to decide what's right, and I find out that's not the answer. I have made me another man to decide what's right, and I find that's not the answer. I've gotten a bunch of people together and called to the church and let them decide what's right, and I found that's not the answer. I found out that the Holy Spirit is the one. Young folks, listen to me over here. He is to tell me what's right. And I found out that the Holy Spirit tells me in a book. Quit trying to get a word of knowledge and read the book. I feel led. I feel led. Many a person wrecked his life because he felt led. Listen carefully. Every decision you've got to make either has a command from that book or an example in that book that'll tell you what to do about that decision. But now the question comes, what if there's more than one right? I wonder if that was his right. What if there's more than one right? Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, we have the mind of Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So I have two CDs. I have mine and his. I think I'll take my mind out of my machine, put his CD in my machine, and put his mind, let this mind be in you, which was also, you have his mind, for God's sake, don't use your little finger mind when you have the mind of Christ who lives in you. We have the mind of Christ. So he gives me his mind. So that's what I do. If there are two rights, and I don't know which one to do, or more than one right, I set a time when I'm going to make that decision. Usually it's several months away, maybe, if I have time to do that. And for those intervening days, I say, Holy Spirit, I'm going to make up my mind, make a decision. This is not something that's wrong in the Bible. I have a decision to make over which right I should do. Now, Holy Spirit, I'm going to make that decision on January 15th. I pray on January 15th you'd let me have the mind of Christ. I claim the mind of Christ. The next day, tomorrow, for example, I'll do the same thing. Holy Spirit, it's September 27th. So January 15th, I've got a decision to make of which right to do, what decision I ought to make. I claim the mind of Christ every day, maybe several times a day, between now and January 15th. I will beg God to let me have his mind on that day. And then I make the decision believing that God has let me have the mind of Christ. Illustration. 40 years ago, Ms. Howes and I were contacted by this church. I set a date. I'll be quite frank with you. I had no definite leading. I had some things that looked like it was leadership of God. But I set a date. And I begged for his mind for those days. On the day that I had set, I claimed the mind of Christ. I lost my own will and claimed the mind of Christ. And made the decision to come to Hammond, Indiana. Now, after I made the decision, I changed my mind. But you see, this, my changing of my mind, I figured I was wiser when I was born his. So I did not go back and change my decision. Though I wanted to, I used his mind. Then I find someone, if that's not the case, if I don't know exactly in the Bible what to do, what decision to make, listen carefully. I try to find somebody who has seen many face my decision and see how they turned out. Now, young people, you listen to me, and you listen to me. Set up straight and shut up your talking, and you listen to me for a while. At 16 years old, you don't know how your decision is going to turn out. Or at 26 years old, you don't know how it's going to turn out either. But you've got a fellow standing around this pulpit that's been preaching for 54 years. You've got a man up here that's pastored more people than anybody's ever pastored in the whole history of the world. Now, You say, you think you're smart? No, I just think I've been around a long time. I've seen the roads you go down. I've seen people go down a certain road, and I've gone to see how they turned out. And so I go back here and see how this road turned out. I open the door here to see how it is. I see broken homes. I see broken hearts. I see broken dreams. I see misery. I see divorce. I see bad health. I see illegitimate children. I see addiction to alcohol. I see narcotic addiction. I see ruined and wrecked life. I don't care how pretty the road is. Find out where it's going. Well, you say, how can I know where it's going? Find somebody who's seen people go down that road for 54 years and let them tell you the wrong road is not the one you're supposed to travel. 54 years, I've been watching folks go the other way. I've been watching folks go to, and this way is not near as pretty as that way over there. Faces are not near as pretty as fingers are near as effeminate. So I go down this road. This road is not as pretty. Doesn't matter how pretty the road is, son. It's where does the road lead? Where do you end up? So I follow this road and follow young people that have gone down this road. And I followed it for 54 years. I look at the destination. Doesn't matter about the road. Where does it end? There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So I look at the end of this road. I see happiness. I see people in church. I see happy marriages. I see happy homes. I see joy. I see excitement. I see peace. I see people that are enjoying life. I come back and I say, young people and older people, listen to me. I've walked down that road there with thousands and thousands of people. I've seen how it turns out. I've walked down that road with thousands and thousands of people. I've seen how it turns out. In God's name, you listen to me. Say, who do you think you are? I think I've been around longer than you have. I think I've watched people go down that road and go down that road. It's not that I'm smart. It's not that I'm God. It's simply the fact that I've watched them go down both roads. There is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But God knows the way, and the Bible knows the way. You follow what the book says. Doesn't matter what I want. It's what he wants. I've never had a person in 54 years of preaching and 52 years of pastoring to walk from that path back to me and come to my office and say, preacher, it's been wonderful. It's been wonderful. Preacher, I found joy. I found happiness. I found peace. But I've had them come from that path over here again and again and again. They're sitting here tonight and say, preacher, we're so happy. We listened to you. We listened to the book. We didn't decide for ourselves. We didn't decide what was right. Preacher, we're so happy. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I see those people over here. I see them. Yeah. Like the little lady came to my office with two little kids dragging them in. Preacher, I grew up in this church. You're my preacher. I love you. Preacher, I didn't listen to you. I married the type of person you said don't marry. She looked at me and said, look at my face. Her face was bruised. She had bandages on her face and on her wrist for the man that she'd married, the wrong man. The man I told her not to marry had beat her and left her. She said, preacher, I have these little kids to rear. What can I do? That's the way they always come back. That's the way they always come back. Broken hearted, broken lives. Because, and by the way, most of them wanted to do good. I felt led to marry him. Hang felt led. Get you a book. He'll tell you what kind to marry. And so I come to the conclusion. I better not decide for myself what's right. I've come to the conclusion that I better not let the Pope decide for me, or even the preacher. He can tell me how it turned out and what he's seen. I've come to the conclusion I better not let the church decide for me. I better let God decide for me. For God is the one who knows what's best, and He's the one I ought to please. It's an old story. Didn't time to tell it. I think I will. His name was Bill Glass. I knew him well. Bill Glass was an All-American football player at Baylor University. He also was a Baptist preacher, called to be a preacher. He decided not to go the route that Joe Boyd went, but decided to become a professional National Football League player. He was playing in a championship game. They had one last chance to score. They were down close to the goal line. Quarterback called the play and said to Bill Glass, I knew Bill well, very well, years ago. He said, Bill, he's coming right over your tackle. You're going to block. You clear the way. This is the last play. We can win the game. Bill Glass told me this story himself at the Middle Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, where he spoke for me one time years ago. He said, I got down on my triangular stance. I looked over and there was the opposing line, the linebackers behind them. I realized that if I blocked my man right and opened the hole, we could win the game. He said I gave it all I had. And he said the hole was opened and the running back came through the hole. Anybody could have come through the hole. It was wide open. And the people cheered. And they cheered, and pretty soon Bill Glass said, I heard him cheer the running back. All he did was take the ball through the hole I'd made. I was bitter. I was grimy, filthy, sweating, dirty, muddy. I opened the hole. I knew it. But the people, they even took the running back and put him on their shoulders and carried him off the field as the great hero of the game. And Bill Glass said, somewhat bitterly, I trudged off the field. We won. But I knew I'd made that hole for that running back. He said, I got over to the sideline. Everybody cheering the running back and carrying him off the field on the shoulders. He said, the coach looked at me. He said, nice block, Bill. And he said, I began to cry. It didn't matter to me what the people up there said. The thing that mattered, the coach knew what I'd done. And the coach knew it was a good block. It won't matter what the world says when you face God. It's what the coach says. That's what matters. Some time ago, a pianist was playing a concert, an accomplished pianist. And the crowd was held in close rapt attention as he played his concert. And he came to the end of this wonderful concert, and the crowd stood for a standing ovation. All but one wrinkled old man. The folks thought maybe he couldn't stand. But the crowd gave this concert pianist a standing ovation. Except the old man. All of a sudden, the pianist who had been applauded so greatly began to cry uncontrollably and rushed off of the platform. And somebody followed him and said, man, what's wrong? He said, I failed. What do you mean you failed? They're out there cheering for you right now. All but one old wrinkled man. And the concert pianist said, yeah, but that wrinkled man, He's my teacher. And he's the one I want to please. I'm 73 years old now. I've been around a long time. I watched them come and go. I want to say tonight, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I want to say tonight that nobody in this world knows what is right. I want to say you don't know what's right, and nobody else knows what's right. But the God of heaven, the creator of the universe, knows what's right, and he put it in this book right here. And most of you spent more time reading the newspaper this week than you spent in this book. Most of you spent more time watching the stinking television set than you spent in this book this week. Get in the book. And one day when you face the master, nice block deal. Nice block deal. Doesn't matter who stands and applauds. It's my teacher that I want to be proud. They knew not what was right. Tonight I'm talking to a heap of people. I need you to change your whole philosophy about right. I'm talking to folks with the hundreds tonight. You want to do right, but you want to decide what's right. Or you want to come to somebody young like you are and ask them what they think you ought to do. What you better do is you better get in that book and live in it and let God decide what's right. And then when more than one right comes and you have to choose between rights, you claim the mind of Christ and make a decision time. And then you come to somebody who's seen other people go down the same journey and let them advise you and warn you not to go. Our Heavenly Father, bless the simple message to our hearts tonight. I pray that many of us will stop to realize that we may want to do what's right. But we, like Eve, we, like the time of the judges, we, like the Jews in the wilderness and at Kadesh Barnea, we want to decide what's right. I pray you'd help us to get in the old book and decide what's right, not ourselves, but in the light of what our God says. Please help this little sermon to cause many to avoid and avert heartache and tragedy, ruin lives. Please.